Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's safety chat.
Hi, this is Nick Coya with the Portage County Safety Council. I'm here today with Mike Thompson, the manager of the Portage County Safety Council. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Thank you. So you just recently did a safety talk about an elephant and a rider and a path, and this was related to the social and emotional aspect of change and safety within a company. Can you give us a 30,000-foot overview about this elephant and rider theory?
Sure. The elephant, the rider, and path is actually created by psychologists to study decision-making, and I call it the three main components of decision-making. It was popularized by a book called Switch, How to Change When Change is Hard by two brothers named Chip and Dan Heath. And the main idea is the elephant represents our emotions. The rider, which is usually in control of the elephant, not every time, as we all know, is our reason or our intellect. And the third thing is the path. The path is our environmental factors and processes that may affect how we do something or the process that we do to get everything fulfilled and completed.
So how can I apply these three components of decision making to improve my safety and health management program within my organization?
Sure. If we look most of our safety programs, we look at them closely, we have the knowledge part. We have the rider part down, right? We have tons of safety education, lockout, tagout, how to do step one, two, three. That would fit under the reason or the intellect or the rider. We have that part. We see most of us in our workplaces have those programs already in place. The path, the third piece there is something we also have. You know, the path is, where's the traffic of the tow motors going? Do we have clearly marked off lanes? Are there machine guards in place? There are environmental factors that help reduce safety. Do we have mufflers to help reduce noise? A lot of places, especially manufacturing facilities, are implementing those things. Do we need improvement? Absolutely. So that takes us to the first component, I think, which is probably the most often missed in safety, emotions or the elephant. The idea is that in order for people to comply, in order for you to come at work to me and say, Nick, I need you to do this to me today, or I need you to do this, I need you to comply, I need you to wear this safety belt, I need you to enact this policy procedure, there has to be a relationship and an understanding between me and you. I have to be able to trust you in order to come to me and tell me these different things, right?
So what you're saying is, and I think I see this a lot in organizations that I walk into, is that they have a good training program already in place where they're educating their staff about working safely. And they've developed some environmental factors such as machine guarding or purposeful driving lanes and walking lanes for staff, but we still see a number of injuries. And so you're relating that to the emotional aspect that the safety program is not touching on in engaging with the employees.
Absolutely, especially in regards to compliance. I remember after one of our safety council monthly luncheons, a human resource manager came up to me and said, Mike, we tried everything. We have the posters, we have the training classes, we have the videos for them, they sign off. They know what they're supposed to do, but they still don't do it. I see the guy in the tow motor, still won't put his seatbelt on. I come over and get on him. He'll throw a few cuss words at me and then take off and continue on. And this is what we see over and over again. And this is that often missed link between safety.
So Mike, it sounds like you're saying there are social and emotional factors related to changing the culture. And so how can we change this culture? Has anybody tried this before? And what lessons have they learned that we could apply today to our safety and health management programs?
Yeah, whenever I discuss this, Nick, I refer back to a study done a few years ago by the Auburn University. And they came up with four social emotional factors that affect this, particularly in regards to safety compliance. Now, just to give you a quick backstory of the experiment and the study, they went to an international oil rigging company. They went to their U.S. locations. They had 99% of the U.S. employees base participating in the study. Okay. So they had a 99% participation rate. They had about 188 employees for this rigging company. And they went back and they did these surveys and they went through all the different processes and they looked through all the information and they found these four factors were a key part in safety compliance. So those four factors are, the first one is management safety concern. So in other words, from the employee perspective, they're asking, does the company generally care about my safety?
So, and can we also say then that the management safety concern is they're more concerned with safety than production or quality or quantity?
Absolutely. In regards to this, on a side note, there's something in decision making called loss aversion. Now, this is a big deal because catch this. So I'm at a machine, right?
Okay.
That may have a pinch hazard. So I hear the messages. I go to the meetings. I see the contest for safety program. I see the posters on the wall. But then my supervisor comes in when the machine jams up and threatens, if the machine doesn't get back running soon, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose my job. So as an employee, when I see a jam beginning to happen, even though I've been enumerated and saturated in safety messages, in a split second decision I have to make between losing my job or fear of losing my job and making the right safe choice. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So in other words, part of this social emotional factors to control the elephant in the room, the emotions, has to be solid decisions and thought processing on the fact on the backs of the supervisors and the foreman within the production floor, because their decisions have a direct effect on that social.
Absolutely. And these are things you may not normally adhere to safety. You may not actually say this has anything to do with it. You think as a manager sometimes, well, hey, this is production numbers, totally separate than safety, but they're really not. They're really correlated because, again, if I'm an employee in the heat of the moment and I have a tenth of a second decision to make and I fear losing my job or getting yelled at by my supervisor again, it's going to make most of us, right, respond and take riskier behaviors on the job, which is going to result in more accidents and lost time and ultimately more money for the company.
So our actions as a management team, you're saying from this Auburn study, support what's always been kind of said behind the scenes in safety, that safety needs to be as important, if not more important, than production and quantity or quality. Because if we put those other two before safety, then the injuries will happen.
Yeah, and here's where I think the confusion part comes on management. On the side of management is this. Okay, well, we care about your safety. We really do, Mr. Employee, right? We really care about your safety, but they don't see the other aspect of the pressure for production that causes them to maybe respond in an unsafe manner in the heat of the moment. And that's where we really get in trouble as managers. We actually send mixed messages. So in one aspect, we're saying, be safe, be safe, be safe. And the other aspect, we're saying, production, production, production. And with consequences if we don't meet that said production, right? Okay. And so we're actually saying mixed messages without even realizing it. So it's one of those subtle things that could cause a lot of pressure. Another thing I see with management safety concern is, and we probably hear this once in a while at the safety council, right? People say, well, my bosses don't care about my safety. They just care about saving money. And sometimes we communicate that, don't we? So when we're communicating safety, we're like, it costs X amount of dollars. It cost us $5,000 for an employee to return, whatever the statistic is. And we always value the money rather than the individual. So I, as an employee, do I really feel like the company actually cares about my safety, or are they just trying to save another buck?
So, and I think that's a hard piece for some individuals to overcome, because the dollar talks at the management level often.
Right.
While they care about safety, dollars is a way that we push programs, and that's how you justify new equipment or making changes is based upon the dollars. But what I'm getting from this is that the first lesson learned from the Auburn study is that we need to have better management engagement with safety, and it's showing a true concern for safety and watching their wording and their interaction.
Absolutely. And sometimes I think we missed the mark a little bit talking about safety culture, because safety culture is probably going to be a reflection, in my opinion, of the overall corporate culture. So do we have an engaged workforce, managers? Are your employees engaged? Do they really believe that you're for them and you're with them? Or do they believe you're just there to check the box to make sure they come in alignment with the company's mission and goals? That's not a bad thing. But the key is this social, emotional. Remember the elephant, it's dealing with emotions. How do I feel? Do I feel safe? Do I feel supported? Do I feel like they have my back?
So we've learned one piece. What's another piece of information that we can take away from this Auburn study?
Okay, the second thing of the social-emotional factors is perceived organizational support. Does the company support me? The third thing is perceived organizational ethics. Now, this one could be a little bit tricky. It's really, again, dealing with that trust issue. Can I trust the company I work for? Do they pressure me to act unethically? B, do they act unethically?
So what I'm hearing here is, under perceived organizational ethics, is number one, are they pushing me to push out more parts unsafely in order to meet a deadline? And then number two, does the manager or supervisor act unethically? You're saying, does the manager or supervisor break the safety rules, but then expect me to comply with
those? Absolutely. Also, fudging safety reports. In regards to perceived organizational support, if I am involved with a worksite accident, are you going to rush me out and drug test me immediately? Now, I believe that's important, but does the employee perceive that as you're just going to fire me because I got an accident? Or you're really just doing it, go through protocol to protect the company, but you're still for me as an individual. If they see you or they perceive it, whether it's real or not, remember, this is about perception. They perceive that you don't support them through the process of even them going through an accident. Everyone else is going to see that. And as a culture, you're going to have much less likely to be effective in your safety program.
Okay. And what's the fourth thing that we learned from this Auburn study?
The fourth thing's my favorite. They referred to it as leader-member exchange, okay? So this is like, what does the relationship look like between the employees, managers, or supervisors? In fact, they found the most important relationship when it came to safety compliance was each employee's relationship with their frontline supervisor.
So are they looking for a supervisor that is more of a mentor and helping them with safety, or are they looking for more that safety police officer that's just there to correct them when they do wrong?
Right. It goes to that, the mentorship, and it's also, it goes back, these four things I believe overlap. Is this person for me? Is he with me? The perception of the organization's support and ethics, a lot of times will come down to my relationship. You know what I mean? If I have a poor relationship with my supervisor, I might, without thinking about it, perceive the entire organization to be at fault. Because of one person, you know, the lack of relationship or lack of healthy relationship there. But if I have a healthy relationship with the supervisor, I'm more likely to perceive the entire organization as being good and supportive.
So if we build a strong relationship between our supervisors and our employees that has trust built within that, not only does it help our production, our quality, and creating a good working environment, it increases the likelihood of a safer working environment because there's that trust there.
Absolutely. And the most amazing thing is, if you study turnover, if you study absenteeism and tardyism, and now we have this aspect of safety, all of these things come down to corporate culture and employee engagement. If we have an engaged workforce who like to come to work, who like the people they work with, now it sounds like fluff to a lot of people. They're like, well, you know, I'm about getting widgets made. I'm about doing A, B, and C. That's good. But if your employees enjoy your company and they enjoy who they work with and they enjoy coming to work every day, you'll see lower absenteeism, lower turnover costs, and ultimately lower accident rates. That's the crazy thing about it.
So from this study, we could really say that if we wanted to improve our safety program, one of the areas to help drive that culture change would be a good investment into our frontline leadership to ensure they're giving that emotional support to the employees and creating that positive, safe work environment.
Yes, there's an absolute leadership gap in a lot of management. What happens is maybe I run, I'm a machine operator and I do really well. Okay.
Okay.
And then I get promoted, but I don't really know how to lead or manage people. So I communicate, and then when things get tough, I may communicate out of frustration and not really know how to teach or guide or mentor someone through the process of improvement, but I may respond emotionally, which now stirs up their elephant in the room, right? Stirs up their elephant, which now hinders compliance all the way down. So that is one way I think that we can improve safety compliance is by good, authentic leadership training for our managers and people that we promote within the company.
So the training should be more than just these are the safety rules. It should be how do we interact with those employees to have better compliance with those rules.
Right. I think these complement each other. We have the practical knowledge base. This is step A, B, C, how to be safe. We have the path process taking us back to beginning full circle, where we have our clear tone motor lanes, our machine guards, our mufflers to reduce noise, all these different things. That's in check. And then we have a social emotional side. We teach our managers how to communicate properly. How, you know, if you've ever worked in a facility where the manager came and maybe cussed you out a little bit or threatened you every little thing, that's a real difficult environment to thrive and improve on because you're always at fear for one, the social aspect of it. Two, you know, you're going to get upset being treated like that. And the third thing is you don't want to comply even though you know you should. So the social emotional aspect is a really important key piece to safety.
All right, Mike. Well, I thank you for talking to us today about the social-emotional aspect and how we can start to apply this to our workplace. Looking back over this talk, it seems like many organizations that have the basics of the rider in place where they're educating their staff and they have the path in place where they put up the guarding and those signposts along the way, but are still having the injuries could really correlate back to the emotion and what type of culture we have. And so investing in our supervision and creating an environment in which we communicate on better grounds, and additionally we walk the walk, not just talk about it, but we actually go out and do it, will help change that and create a safer environment.
Absolutely. It really comes down to this. If we get some of that study up in one thing, is the context in which your safety message is being communicated or portrayed, and that's your corporate culture. That's your communication between managers and employees and peers, et cetera. So I want to end with this quote, if it's okay. From the study, it said, "No matter how complete a safety program may be in theory, if the program is not properly carried out by employees, its effectiveness will diminish." We can all accept that, right? Mm-hmm. "A factor in determining the degree to which employees comply with a program is whether or not employees accept the safety message for management." So all these things regarding ethics and support and management safety concern, leadership, member exchange, it all comes down to this. Is the employee really not only intellectually and in the reason and in the process, but are they emotionally going to accept the message from the supervisor in order to be safe and comply with company policies? And that's the bottom line.
All right. Well, once again, thank you, Mike, so much for this talk. And we look forward to hearing from you in the future on these subjects. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.